could be having a life on a Friday night. Instead, you're here with us now. Friday Night AMA with your host, Showtime George. Showtime George.
I keep forgetting there's a second half to that. I swear, that is the longest intro in the history of intros. And not only is it the longest intro in the history of intros, it has the absolute most embarrassing Showtime George.
Showtime George.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you so much. Added to it. So I do want to say thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jason. I hate both of you. And by Mike, I don't mean our guest this evening. I mean Dirty Jobs 21. What is going on, everybody? It is me. It is George, Showtime George, as I have appropriately nicknamed myself. That is a true story, by the way. I actually did nickname myself. We are doing our Friday night AMA. Super excited about tonight. I've been looking forward to this all week. We have with us this evening Mike Fiala, a.k.a. at Daddy's Home on Twitter. You can follow him, obviously, at Daddy's Home on Twitter. Mike, I can introduce you, but why don't you tell everybody else about yourself?
Sure. So basically, I am pretty new to the game. Got going a couple months ago. Started writing for the Pregame HQ, and now you can find me Wednesday nights hosting Fantasy Intervention with my friend Chase Vernon. Every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, we come in right between Club Fantasy and Fantasy Football Confidential. So we're part of that Wednesday night stack. So you can catch me there live every Wednesday at 8.
All right, so let me ask you this. What is the Fantasy Intervention? Tell people what that is if they're not familiar with it.
So Fantasy Intervention is a host of shows, a brand that's come together under Chase Vernon. He's my co-host. So we cover basically everything in our live shows. We have DFS, we have Start Sit, we have Waiver Wire. What I do in particular, same segment every week, I cover the recap of the week before. We cover the post-waiver ads because we are coming in Wednesday at 8, so we figure most waivers have run. So those people that are looking to scavenge, we have those slam pieces outside of the top 20 people you need to be jamming your lineup, like last week, for example. Perfect example is Odell Beckham. And then the flex plays that you might be on the fence on that have sweet matchups that we think are guarantees. And then we do a ton of kind of what we're going to do tonight, where we're always going to the audience. Any questions, completely fair game, and try to cover those. And we'll do those until they run out, essentially.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. How did you get into the fantasy industry? What drove you to actually want to become a content creator?
So two things happened in the course of 3 months that kind of changed everything. Father's Day, I had 80 followers. I've been playing fantasy forever, but I had no skin in the game whatsoever. And my son made me a Father's Day card. Super sweet, right? And I had tweeted it over to Scott Fish as part of his contest and got into the fishbowl. So that was kind of the beginning of it. And then as I guess fate would have it, I was drafting right next to a gentleman by the name of Matt Kelly, the podfather.
Self-proclaimed podfather.
Self-proclaimed podfather. So after an unfortunate week one for him, I posted a video of my best Matt Kelly impression explaining why he lost to a nobody like myself. And that's when things got pretty wild. Looks like it's over 18,000 views now, I think. I haven't checked in a while, but we're definitely trending up in that way. 17,000 engagements, 174,000 views of the tweet. Things just kind of went nuts and took off from there. Just me screwing around one morning before breakfast, got out of the gym and was feeling sassy, hit the record button. And that was kind of that. Did a couple live shows after that with Chase. We had a good connection and just kind of took off from there. So got a couple offers after the video, a couple people reached out. And just kind of fell into it, I guess, more than anything else. But it's been no more than 3 months that I've been in the game at this point. It's been a whirlwind, to be honest. And it's been a blast, but kind of crazy how it all kind of played out.
So just completely stumbled into it, huh? That's actually pretty awesome. I seen the video. I think it was probably the day or the day after you created it. What It's an awesome video, by the way. I must say, hold on, I'm going to stop. I'm going to applaud. Wonderful video. Absolutely awesome. You couldn't have made a video for a nicer guy. So I like the Podfather. Like I get his shtick. It's a controversial shtick, but I completely get it. Controversy sells. He's done very well for himself with the shtick that he has. So I don't hate it at all, but bravo, sir. Just bravo to give it back to him. Absolutely amazing.
So I'm going to be honest. I didn't actually know who he was before we started this. So
that's even better.
just to be blunt, like I know everyone's got history with this guy. Like people have told me their stories. That couldn't have been done with more of a smile than it was. Like I'm from Boston. We bust balls. It's what we do. If I'm not busting your balls, you should be worried. I clearly don't like you. So there was definitely not any ill will. It wasn't, I can't wait to get this guy. He had made a video in July that I had retweeted. That was part of the whole gag, right? And just kind of thought, hey, you know, you can always shit talk a shit talker. That's a bad motto for life. So it wasn't, you know, anything that I was looking to take anybody down or there's no backstory to it whatsoever. It was literally just me trying to make the rest of my league mates laugh. I posted it expecting to get 10 likes, the other 10 people in our division, and for no one to ever see it. So it was never like any kind of publicity stunt or anything like that. It was literally just to make my league mates laugh. And apparently a lot of people wanted to get a good laugh out of him. So that's where we landed.
That is absolutely phenomenal. I'm positive, 100% sure. There's people who have reached out to you, not in public, but like they've slid into your DMs to say well done and whatnot. Have you been reached out to by anybody that you just never imagined would be reaching out to you?
Oh man. There's so many, to be honest. You know, when JJ reached out and called me King Mike, I mean, he's been someone I've been following for God knows how long. You know, someone
that's JJ Zacharyson, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that was shocking. Casey Kasem reached out, I think 2 days ago now, had just seen the video. Realistically, everybody that reached out was shocking to me. Like I said, I didn't expect any of it, but so many cool people came out, so many like just positive comments. Nobody that was, you know, I even expected possibly some trolls, none of it. Like people were contacting me being like, I'm friends with them. And that was awesome. Which the best part for me is they received it the right way. So his army didn't come to kill me because I think they all saw the joke in it, right?
None of that.
Nothing. No, I mean, I got maybe one or two, right? Which was hilarious because if you know me, and I mean, you guys see me on Twitter, I couldn't be happier to be here. Like I'm just a big dumb idiot. So if anyone gives me like, hey, your take sucks, like my instant reaction is thanks for the feedback, friend. We'll find out on Sunday. Like I don't know what else to do. So I think the few people that tried, I know one guy came out and he was like, why should I take anything you say seriously? And I said, you shouldn't. I'm just a dipshit on my couch talking onto the air for no reason. I said, you can block me all you want, man. I said, I wouldn't blame you one bit. I said, I got all my followers from a fucking Father's Day card and a week one victory lap. I'm the guy you should take least serious on here. So, I mean, I think that tends to make them go away, to be honest, because I attack myself more than anybody else. Like the Podfather came back and did a little shtick about how I suck in the fishbowl. I'm like, bro, I tweeted those stats 2 days ago making fun of myself, but cool. I mean, have at it, man.
that was going to get me right into my next question. I was going to, if Matt did any type of a retort video or if he said anything about it on his podcast or anything like that.
Believe it or not, just a couple days ago. Yeah. And one person tweeted at me. It didn't seem to get a lot of air, at least with the circles that I run in, which is fine. It was generally around the fact that I'm 1-3, which like I said, and you guys know this for following me, I already tweeted that out. I suck at this. And
you know, it's a tough game, man, especially this year. It's a tough thing to navigate. Being 1-3 this year isn't a shocker. Like, it's really hard to have a team that's put together well right now.
Well, if you look at how it all went down, I mean, with Garoppolo, Eckler, Le'Veon Bell, Jamison Crowder, Kenny Golladay, all on my roster, Austin Hooper not being injured, but just being a pile of shit. You know, it just hasn't, you know, the luck hasn't fallen my way. I actually would be 2-2 if Jared Cook didn't catch a pass with 13 seconds to go on Monday Night Football in a 10-point game that was complete garbage time. I lost by 0.8 in that one. But, you know, I think that realistically, like, he picked the time to come back. It was the only time so far this year that he's been ahead of me in the standing. So his timing was interesting. I told my friend that apparently it was a 4-week knockout because it took him a while to get back. But, you know, all in all, it was I suck at fantasy and I breathe through my mouth. Two things that probably would know about me if we were friends. My allergies make my nostrils not so great. And I've been donating to fantasy football for 25 years. So all the power to him. It seemed like a couple of his followers got a hold of it. And I guess if we're keeping track here, I didn't exactly see 18,000 views on that one. But, you know, I guess he got a couple. So
you mean to tell me when you created your video, you're like, watch, I'm going to get 18,000 views on this, right? That's what we all intend to do, right?
I predicted 8. I actually thought two of my league mates might not watch it. But I literally put it in the DM. I said, guys, watch this. I even tagged him on it. And I was like, he's never going to see it, but this is hilarious. And I had to put my phone down for 2 days because it wouldn't stop beeping. I'm like,
Oh man, I can't even imagine. Like, I get maybe 10 likes on a tweet or something like that, and I'd put my phone up. So 18,000, I just can't even imagine. That's pretty cool, though. I laughed my ass off watching that, man. That was funny. That was good stuff. I didn't even take it as anything rough. We'll get to a little housekeeping here, shit, guys. We got like G-Man J saying what's up. I just now realized me and G-Man J, if you look at that picture and you look at me, you can see me and G-Man J probably don't like each other no more. Like, that might have just happened.
Mike, we just fought about this like 5 minutes ago. Did you? I told him I'd catch him outside. Yeah, because he was giving shit to Red Sox fans, so he knows.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. So it's tough.
I was giving him a pass being a Giants fan, but there's literally no reason at all he should be a Yankees fan. That's
uncalled for.
Like, I think I'm gonna go out and guess, and I'm only guessing because Mike's wearing the hat. I think all three of us are Red Sox fans.
Yeah, yep. There you go. Same. Heck yeah. I do got to say this too, though. G-Man J, if you guys aren't following G-Man J or you're not keeping up with G-Man J, dude, you got to get on board with this guy. This guy writes an article that will make you sweat, man. This guy will make you think. He has a great start and sit article. If you're listening to this guy, you are winning week after week after week. Yep. Follow G-Man J. Get on board at SleeperWire Patreon, SleeperWire.com. We'll get you everywhere you need to go. Another thing, too, is if you're not ready for – now I just totally forgot what I was going to say, George.
I don't know what the hell you were talking about, Mike.
Yeah. I was just trying to shout out the crew. Watch us on Twitch, watch us on YouTube. But, I mean, that's what people are doing right now. So,
yeah, we got some comments on here. Let's get to some of these comments. We'll burn through them real quick. Kevin's watching us here on the YouTube. He wants to know which one of the rookie running backs can we fade now? Mike F, we'll go with you first. Is there any rookie running back that we can actually fade in your opinion?
I mean, no, at this point, realistically, if it's redraft, the only one that I'm completely throwing out in the trash is Keyshawn Vaughn. He is done for this year. I don't want to say for his career. I think it's too early for that. I am strongly holding on your top five. No question. Obviously, you have JT and CEH who are already putting up numbers. I hear a lot of people down on Dobbins and Akers. I can't get on with that. I think those are going to be second half league winners, along with Swift, who is putting up spectacular numbers per catch, per touch, excuse me. So I think that realistically, once Patricia is gone and people start actually looking at what's the future of this team, I think Swift, out of all this group, is going to be a rocket ship. But the only one I'm throwing completely out at this point is Vaughn for redraft. I just think the rest of them, I'm looking for a big second half, and I'd be buying on the cheap.
Yeah, he's about the only guy.
Team league.
What was that, George?
What's up, Mike? Go ahead, Dirty. Go ahead, Dirty Jobs.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, no, the only guy I'm really fading to is him as well. Like, I like Zach Moss. I think Zach Moss has a good second half. I think Cam Akers has a good second half. I think Swift might be the guy to own in the second half. I think Swift's going to be a guy that's on a lot of championship rosters this year if things keep going the flow that it's going in right now. So, yeah, I'm still pretty stoked about a lot of these rookies. Dobbins, I'm a little bit fading on. I'm not as high on him, and just because it just seems like that team isn't going to commit to too much running action. You know, like Lamar Jackson's the running back on that team, in my opinion. And I mean, Mark Ingram, like, he's going to probably score this weekend, but he's going to get, you know, 10 carries for 20 yards and a touchdown. So good for like that 10-point threshold. And I don't really see Dobbins being able to break that out. I mean, Lamar Jackson's just such a dominant quarterback that he takes up all the running back action too.
So let me ask you guys this, Dirty Jobs, I'll start with you. Give me your top five rookie running backs rest of season.
Oh, Jonathan Taylor for sure, number one. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, number two. I'd have to say, man, that's tough for number three. That's because I mean, I like Cam Akers a lot. I like Zach Moss a lot, and I like Swift a lot. So I have to fit all these guys in there. And I mean, that doesn't even touch all of them that I want to even talk about right here. So I would say Swift would be next, Akers, and then Moss. But I don't feel like, I feel like there's still a lot of good action from the rookies that can come up.
All right. Mike, how about you?
All right. So I'm going to take JT number one. CEH number two. I think that's your 1 and 1A for pretty much everybody. I'm going to go James Robinson for number three.
Thank you.
I think he's going to keep doing what he's doing. Absolutely, though, going Swift number four. I think taking over that Kamara role. Five is a coin flip, man. I'll take Akers without even remotely being surprised if Moss is it. But I'll take Akers in the five hole. I think that's probably the way it's going to fall. The one guy I could be too low on right now is Swift. I think he could even potentially end up in the one hole when we're all said and done here. But I'm going to fade him just a little bit and go with the three guys that are producing on the top.
I was wondering if James Robinson was going to get any love. Dude is absolutely balling out right now. But if I had to do my top five, and I know I'm squirming, I'm trying to take off my socks. if I had to do my top five, it would be Jonathan Taylor one. I would actually go James Robinson number two ahead of CEH. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not a CEH guy. That's the reason why. I was not very high on him coming into the season. I thought for sure Damian Williams would just be the monster in that backfield, and CEH would have a very limited role. Obviously, he opted out for COVID, and that thrust CEH into a starter's role, but I don't get the CEH. I get the opportunity. I get the team and all that. He just, for me coming in, he wasn't even a top five running back for me. It's hard for me to rank, you know, him super high when talent alone, I didn't have him as a top five. So I'll put him at three. Then I'm going to go Swift. And then I'm going to go, and this is where it does get difficult, because you got Moss, you got Dobbins, you got Akers. I think I'll go Akers as five. So those will be my top five.
Man, so this is all about mentioning Kelly. Like, I think Josh Kelly has a hell of a rest of year without Eckler in there.
Kelly's a tough one. I want to love him. You can't hold on to the damn ball right now. I mean, if you can't hold on to the ball as a rookie, that's an issue. Fumbles in back-to-back games. Talent's definitely there. Opportunities there. Just not a guy that I can put ahead of these guys if you're forcing me to trade. That said, I think you have 8 or 9 productive rookies, so we did say top five. And yeah. I do see some hate coming from, talked about CEH.
That's okay. Pay no attention to the haters. Listen, after week one, after the very first game of the season, everybody, I put up a Twitter poll. It had over 700 votes. And I put Kamara or CEH. It wasn't even close. The recency bias. CEH crushed it after the first game of that poll. And I'm like, you guys have lost your loving minds.
Oh, man. I can't believe it. Like, I was like, that's got to be like, 75% Kamara, right? But really, CEH on the bowl? Wow.
Yeah, he dominated off of the very first game. I'm like, dude, he had six opportunities in the red zone and got no touchdowns. Come on now.
Right, stop right. It.
Yeah.
So, but let's move here to Oscar's question. He wants to know, is Michael Thomas a safe start this Monday?
I feel like Michael Thomas is on the field, you play him. I can't sit him. I don't know how to.
I'm not playing him this Monday if he plays. High ankle sprain. We just did a show with Dr. Jesse Morris. He's from the Sports Doctors. And even he said these high ankle sprains, like, they legitimately take 4 to 6 weeks to heal. We've seen Saquon when he had his high ankle sprain last year. He came back after, what, three games, I think it was?
Yeah.
And he just wasn't the same. He was not the same for – it took about 6 or 7 weeks. This is not one of those injuries where you could be rushed back and go right back to the production you had. So if Michael Thomas is starting this Monday, which I don't think he will, but if he does, he's not somebody I want in my lineup. I'd rather put him on the bench if I have a suitable substitute and see how he does.
Who do you substitute freaking Michael Thomas with?
In a PPR, I would start this week. I would start Jamison Crowder over Michael Thomas in a PPR league.
That nonsense. With Flacco.
Oh my.
Yeah, that's with Flacco.
That's spicy.
I had to just take him flat off, man. Like, that's one of the joys of being a producer. like, get out of here with that nonsense.
Oh, man. I thought he just did a walk-off. I thought he ran away, and he was like,
that would have been epic. I'm dropping the bomb, and I'm just leaving.
I'll tell you, with Thomas, I would play the guys that I have that I'm playing over him, the DJs, Chark and Moore. This week I'm playing over him, including Moore's teammate, Robbie Anderson. And that's not an insult. That puts him around wide receivers, say 14, 15 for me. I don't tend to do my weekly rankings. I just eyeball them. But I have him in the high-end wide receiver 2 range. Not only do I think he's not going to look the same, I don't think Breeze looks the same, and I don't think this offense looks the same with the emergence of Kamara. And what you
did we lose you?
I think his mic might have just
got. You guys still got me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We thought your mic cut out for a second.
Oh, sorry about that. So did you catch that all?
The last thing I heard was you didn't think the offense would look the same because of the emergence of Kamara.
Emergence of Kamara and what Breeze looks like. Yeah. And hopefully the rest of what was cut out, I'll tell you after Sunday. and you'll know I nailed the pick. So
absolutely. Absolutely. For sure. All right. So we definitely have difference of opinions on Michael Thomas. Like I said, if you got somebody that you consider to be reliable to start over him, personally, I would do it, but that's just me. I'm wrong more than both of these guys combined. we got Justin. He's in the house. Justin was on the show last week. What's going on, Justin? Let's see.
Justin, man, he's a funny guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Bob's with us again. Bob comes in every single week. We love Bob. Even managed to find his way this week. That's absolutely fantastic. Let me see.
Bob said I killed a tweet. I think he's talking about mine anyways.
he's talking about the other Mike's tweet, Mike.
Mike's talking about the one with 70,000 plus views or whatever. Yeah, that might be true.
the FF Chef says I have a hell of a bias. I probably do. I'll be the first one to tell you. I can be absolutely biased. I'm not a CEH guy, so that could be my bias shining through. Absolutely. I don't doubt it. Talking rookies, what's your take on Kelly? Mike, you brought him up. Dirty Jobs, why don't you go ahead and take this?
Well, like I said, I mean, with the opportunity that he has now, I think you'll see Justin Jackson spell him on the passing downs and things like that to start out. But Kelly's actually pretty decent all around, a three down back when he starts getting going. He still has some rookie mistakes that he's pulling off, but I think if he can work through those, I just feel like he's going to have an incredible amount of opportunity on this team. I think he's going to see a lot of the football field. So opportunity is king, especially around this time of year. So That's why I really like Kelly rest of season.
Mike, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to go with the hot hand approach. I think he's going to get first crack at it, so I think he's going to get the fair share as long as he holds on to the ball. I think that Kelly will be a high-end running back too if he can take that job away from Jackson. Talent-wise, tells you he can. Ball protection-wise right now is an issue. I think he's got one more chance at it this week. Make sure you hold the ball, put up some numbers. If he does that, I think he'll get another week. But I think he needs to show three or four solid weeks before I'm ready to invest long-term and say that he's going to be the guy for the rest of the season.
It's a good thing he doesn't have a head coach like Bill Belichick, because this dude would be benched and probably kicked off the team by now, fumbling twice in that New England offense. Forget it. Look what Coach did to Jonas Gray. He fucking 200 yards, four touchdowns, overslept for fucking practice, and like, we haven't heard from the guy since. I think Belichick actually buried the body at the 40-yard line. I'm not sure. let's see. CEH, blasphemy. Yes, I know. I hate CEH. I don't hate him. I don't hate him. I hate ADPs. I'll steal a line from the aforementioned earlier to show Matt Kelly. I don't hate players. I hate their ADPs. His ADP in the first round was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is Justin Poston again. Landry, T.Y., Jonnu Freeman. Non-PPR, he's got to start two.
I think you got to take the first two, right? Because I don't even know if Jonnu's playing. And if any of you say Devonta Freeman, I will hang up at this very moment and never come back on this podcast again.
I don't think anybody here is going to say Devonta Freeman. I'm not. My Dirty Jobs, are we about to lose our guest tonight? Or
are you sure we're not talking about Morgan Freeman? Because I feel like that's
all of these guys running. Listen, boys. If it's Morgan Freeman, I think you start him week in, week out. He's going to start talking, and you're just going to become mesmerized, and you're going to forget what you're doing, and he's going to be 20 yards down the field before you realize what's going on.
So, honestly, I feel like I'm starting Landry and Jonnu here. I feel like that game is today was my day, right? So I said if they have a COVID test today, it's going to be canceled. I really don't think that the NFL will cancel it now. I feel like they might have this thing in check at the very least. The Titans field in check to where I feel like the players that are going to be playing are out. And so for me, Corey Davis, he's the only player I think that was really affected by the COVID protocol that we know of right now. And I feel like, so if there was Derrick Henry on that list, Ryan Tannehill on that list, we would have probably heard it at the same time, right? Like, at least that kind of makes logical sense to me. So I feel like that game's going to happen, and I feel like Jonnu is going to be a really big part of it. I play Jonnu and Landry. I hate T.Y. right now. I can't stand what T.Y.'s been doing and that offense.
So, yeah, I agree. So if we knew for sure the game was going, like, and it was regularly scheduled or Monday even, like, absolutely grand slam choice between Jonnu and Landry. Those are the two I'm taking. Yep.
So I feel like the NFL can't afford to have that game be a bye. I really do. I mean, like, if Tennessee gets a second bye, then we have some issues. Like, I don't know what they're going to do about scheduling. That literally changes everything. So I feel like the NFL, just out of fear of the fact that they don't know what the frick to do after this, I think they're going to have this game no matter what, come hell or high water. That's why I'm counting on this game happening.
So if this game goes, Jonnu is the top in that bunch. Mm-hmm. The reason for it is, number one, you talked about Corey Davis. The other person affected was Adam Humphries. Right. So what that does is it opens up that slot role. And I think Jonnu actually bumps out to the slot where Buffalo is absolutely getting torched. Yeah. It started with Crowder, Gesicki, Cooper Kupp, even Renfro put up 52 against him. Not a huge game, but a good game. I think Jonnu feasts if the game happens. It's just you're risking a potential zero. I mean, that's just a fact. It's a roll of the dice. I can't stand T.Y. Hilton. Give me someone a little better and I'd be risk averse, but I'm not against the play. It's just definitely nervous with, you know, what we're seeing with the Tuesday game that it potentially gets bumped. And if it does, you're taking that goose egg. Not that Hilton's going to get you more than four or five anyway. So
right, yeah, I was going to say I'd take a COVID-ridden Janu over a T.Y. Hilton any day of the week. So. They'll be about the same box score at the end of the day.
G-Man Jay says, I love CH, but anybody who would take him over Kamara needs to get their head checked. They need to get more. They need to get more than their head checked.
I was stupid about CEH preseason, and like, but I was getting him in the third round, and just like, yes.
And ADPs, man, they matter.
After the first, I'm like, whoa, everybody calm down. Like, this guy don't need no 103. Like, you're getting crazy.
So we got Troy King here. What's up, Troy? Tried to get you on the show tonight. You didn't want to come. That's fine. I ain't mad at you, brother. I still love you. I got to bust his balls a little bit. Troy's a really good dude. Who would you start between Matt Ryan at Carolina or Herbert versus New Orleans? I'll take this one to start. I'm almost at the point with Herbert where it's really hard to sit him. He's been playing really good. He's got plenty of weapons. Matt Ryan – The Falcons just ain't been putting it together for me. So I think I'm going Herbert here.
I mean, the Falcons have been getting it done. They just haven't been scoring touchdowns. Like, Matt Ryan's got all kinds of yards, just isn't getting the biscuit in the basket. I feel like that's just going to be one of those positive regression things that's just kind of due to happen. But New Orleans is kind of giving it up. You know, you got Lattimore Shadow that's more like Lattimore best buddy, you know, like, here you go, man. Like, go ahead, do what you got to do here. And Jenkins hasn't been doing good. I mean, so that team's been getting, speaking of getting torched, that New Orleans defense has been getting beat up. But I feel like that's kind of a fluke thing. I feel like this might be a week where New Orleans Saints start settling in. You got to remember, no preseason affects the defense more than it affects the offense, right? And so our defenses are going to start grinding down, getting into gear, things like that. So I feel like I'm a little bit more comfortable about Matt Ryan here. But God, I don't think you can lose with this one. I feel like you can't miss. Either one of these guys is going to be great this weekend.
What do you think, Mike?
All right, so I'll break the tie. I'm going to go Herbert just because Julio's been non-existent in practice the last 3 days, coming off an injury. Ridley's coming off an injury where he was a straight decoy. Gage is coming off a concussion. The fact is, even though it's not a great defense in Carolina, they haven't been getting torched the way we predicted in the preseason. It hasn't been as bad as you thought. You're not going to be running against New Orleans, and you're going to have to put up some points because, let's face it, the Chargers are no great shakes on the defensive end either. So I do see this as being a shootout. I do see both teams approaching or passing the 30-point mark. I think Herbert's going to be the only one putting up numbers because they're not going to do it in the rushing game. So I'm going to roll with them with the caveat that we all know this could absolutely blow up in your face at any moment.
Absolutely can. Right.
So it's a risk-reward, but if you're swinging for the fences, Troy, I'm going Herbert. And I think he will be the person that could win the week for you if that's what you need.
Agreed. Absolutely agree with that. We got Matt here. He says, hi. Hi, Matt. One of 14 has Metcalf. Can Mike Davis and DJ Moore get me Metcalf? I'd say yes. I think that can do that.
I'm assuming we're talking redraft here.
I'm assuming it's redraft as well.
If we are, one in four teams should take that deal. Two and two or even 3-1 deal wouldn't. Yeah. If they were winning, I'd say no. You're going to want Metcalf for the home stretch, but they need to win now. They'd be foolish to turn that down. I would absolutely see them taking that deal. And I think the team getting Metcalf, if you have the depth at running back, should absolutely make that deal as well.
Man, I feel like I want DJ Moore rest the season. DJ Moore is so freaking good at football. Like, I like it. Don't get me wrong, dude. I like DK Metcalf a lot too. Like, that is tough for me. Like, those guys are kind of like right at that same level, that same tier. The thing that I like about DJ Moore as opposed to DK Metcalf is there a guy that is named TJ Lockett in Carolina? You know, so I mean, that's where I kind of start fading Metcalf a little bit more of that. And like, I don't know what it is about Russell Wilson and his tight end, but man, that guy loves his tight ends. So I don't know. For me, DJ Moore is all alone on that offense. I feel like I'm on the DJ Moore side of this trade.
I'm nowhere near the DJ Moore side of this trade. Not even close.
All alone until old Matt comes back, man. Okay.
You need Robbie Anderson to get suspended, friend. If you're going to say he's all alone, Robbie Anderson.
I feel like DJ Moore will suppress that. I just do. I think it's going to be I think we'll see a 180 on the production on those two guys.
So there is a world where DJ Moore and Metcalf rest of the year are pretty much equal. There's a world where that absolutely could happen. So if you're the guy that's 1-4, you're telling me I'm going to get what's been pretty much a top 10 running back week in, week out since McCaffrey went down with this high ankle sprain. Everybody thinks McCaffrey will be back next week. That this could possibly be the last week you get Mike Davis. Listen, if you're 1-4 and you can only get Mike Davis for 1 week, you get Mike Davis for the 1 week. You need to win. If you fall to 1-5, the way this season's going, you're pretty much out of it at that point. So you do this trade if you're 1-4. Matt, I wish you the best of luck. I hope you can actually pull this off. I like Metcalf a hell of a lot more than I like DJ Moore. So let me see what else we got here. What did Troy say? That's what I'm leaning. Okay, so he was leaning Herbert. That would be the right move. Sorry, tons and tons of comments. I absolutely love all the comments. Here you go. Here's a good one. Kevin wants to know, what are your thoughts on D'Ernest this week? Is he a flex play? Mike, you're shaking your head no. I'll let you go first because I tend to agree the answer is no. So.
Yeah, not against this defense. The Indy defense that you're used to that would get run on, that will put up points, isn't there this year. I think they shut down Cleveland. And D'Ernest Johnson, as much as I love the role, is a slow jag. Let's just make sure we know what we're talking about here. Kareem Hunt is an elite running back in this league. He is not going to give out touches. One thing I always caution people on is do not trust in-game injury volume. Teams don't have time to prep for an in-game injury, so they throw the guy in who's on the bench and say, run these plays. Plus, you had Kareem Hunt dealing with an injury. That's what you were dealing with. I just don't trust, if you think you're going to get, what was it, 15 and 95, if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on those numbers, but it's somewhere in that range. You saw the best you were going to get from him. He absolutely is someone you had to pick up off your waiver wire. He's absolutely somebody that running back needy teams should have on their team. I'm only playing him if I have to, though. This is not a boom type prospect. This isn't a guy who was just waiting for his crack. This is a jag who basically got thrown into a role because they had no other option.
Yeah, this is a guy who's not falling into a Mike Davis situation where he's coming in, he's the unquestioned starter. No, he's got literally the rushing champ ahead of him from his rookie season, an all-pro running back ahead of him. Like, he's not going to have as much of an impact as people think. Dirty, what say you about D'Ernest this week?
So I'm going to go opposite of you guys again here. I hate doing this every time.
It's the New England connection is what it is. So Mike's from Boston. I'm from Lowell. So, you know, we got this New England thing going on over here where we're just agreeing on almost everything.
Well, as a Wyoming turned Floridian, I would say that you guys are crazy. Mike Davis his success comes from the system. It's not really the player as much as it is the system. Like, he walked right into that role of Christian McCaffrey because that's such a good system. I don't feel like Kareem Hunt's role changes much here. I feel like his role stays the same. D'Ernest Johnson comes in there and he takes over that Chubb role. And for me, I want every little bit of that Chubb role. Well, you just wait and watch because
I'll wait, I'll watch, and then I'm going to laugh. I think the reason
on Monday.
So I don't think the Browns are going to be up 14-41 in the fourth quarter again next week. I don't think we're going to have to worry about the Browns benching Kareem Hunt because they don't want to risk further injury on his. Thank you, Mike. They don't want to risk further injury on his groin. So there's no reason to play him. If they would have kept playing Kareem Hunt and he would have injured his groin even further, you know, that would have been stupid. That would have just been poor coaching. We'd be shitting all over the Browns. Like their Odell Beckham Jr. So
I pulled the groin once.
Yeah, yes, but it wasn't your own. Oh, okay, but no, De'Ernest Johnson is definitely somebody you pick up. He's not somebody I want to start this week. As a flex play, listen, if you don't have anything better, go ahead and start him, right? Like, I don't hate it as a flex play, but you with only two teams on bye, I get, you know, you may be looking at that Bills-Titans game. It is on Tuesday. At any moment, it can be suspended and canceled. So I get, you know, trying not to be risk-averse and wanting to play the players who you feel comfortable will actually play. But it's not – he's not somebody I want to go out and throw into my lineup. Do I want him on my bench? Yes, you never know. Do I want to start him? No. I do not want to start him.
I mean, just based on the question we had earlier, I would start him over Devonta Freeman. Yes. So I'll give you that at least.
Yeah. I would start you over Devonta Freeman.
I still have some moves, Mike. I still got some.
I'm just saying, you know, I feel like we're going to get about the same production, same amount of points. But as a matter of fact, you're not going to toss me a negative. You can guarantee me that. Devonta Freeman can't. He might call it a day.
So we got BFTG Charities. That's my boy Jason. He's not with us this evening. But Jason, thank you for watching at home. He wants to know why I have strobe lights going in the background. Apparently, he doesn't understand setting the mood. I kind of wanted this whole mood thing going, you know, maybe throw somebody into a little bit of an epileptic seizure. You know, you just never know what could go on, right? So that's why I got the strobe lights going. No, Jason, it's not the strobe lights. It's actually – it's my ceiling fan. Unlike you, I'm in a room that actually has a fan. And – like you, I am also fat, so I need a fan going when I do my shows. That is why we have the strobe lights going. Let's see. Yes, this one I will definitely put on here. The Boston bias. Yes, that is a thing. It is 100% a thing. Deal with it. Chef says he likes the Kelly takes. Let's see. We got here. Bob created our new Twitter logos this week. Phenomenal. We are a big fan of Bob. He's a must start in all formats. I'm not starting Bob in non-point per reception leagues. Mainly, it's got nothing to do with Bob. It's just I actually refuse to play in those leagues. There's no reason they should exist.
Since when did standard become non-PPR, by the way? When did
you got to be politically correct. It's non-PPR now, Mike. Get with the times.
Like that this is another take to where standard should not exist. I got a couple questions here on the Mixler if we want to catch up with these guys that are listening on our on the OG channel. We got June7118 saying he loves the intro. That's how far back we are on the Mixler, guys, by the way.
He's absolutely lying. I just want to let him know that.
He said he loved it. He said it's a long one and he loved it. He says Mike Williams.
I heard that. I'm sorry. Mike, I apologize. I cut you off with the comment that he loved the long one.
No worries. No worries.
Can you please read the comment?
Is Mike Williams worth a stash this year? A mustache.
It depends on how deep your bench is. If you got like a five-man bench or a six-man bench, I don't know if I really want Mike Williams on the bench. I value those spots a lot. I think I would rather have, you know, if I've got six spots, I think I want to have two wide receivers and four running backs just because I value the running backs a lot more than wide receivers. So maybe he's one of the two wide receivers, but at this point, I don't think he's better than anything I have on my bench. So I'm going to say, depending on the bench size, no.
And I tend to agree with that. I mean, I like Mike Williams. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I've got so much shit going on with COVID and all my teams are just decimated right now and nobody's playing that I'm like, oh, is he going to play football this weekend? I would put him in. So I'm a little biased towards it on the risk adverse side of things. So I'm like, yes, grab whoever you can that's going to play football and get them in there. But I'm with you, George. I think that's a good take. I agree with that.
Yeah, I think shallow benches, you're going to be able to find a Mike Williams type player any given week. He's not a guy you're always going to be comfortable starting. So especially with Herbert in love with Keenan Allen, more so than I'm in love with my dog, which is saying a lot. that you're not going to break up that bromance. Keenan Allen right now is a smash wide receiver one. He's getting 12 to 15 targets a game. They're not going to throw it enough for Mike Williams to be a consistent thing. So take the running backs. I'm with you guys. Get the running backs on your bench. And if you need a wide out to start in a pinch, you'll find one Mike Williams level on the waiver wire every day.
Oh, I get you. He also asks, start two, Juju, Boyd, or Gibson?
For me, I'm going to go Juju and Boyd. And it's just because, like, I like Gibson. I am definitely coming around to him. But with the quarterback change going to Kyle Allen, I'm not sure how that's going to work. I know how it's going to work between Boyd and Burrow. So I'll go Juju and Boyd.
I'm staying away from Boyd in the Ravens game. That makes me nervous. So
that matchup is really scary for me too. I'm actually Juju and Gibson myself. Like I think Boyd gets shut down this weekend, Matt. I don't think he does anything. I really do. He also asked Breeze or Herbert.
Herbert. Had that one with Troy, right?
Yep. Well, he had Matt Ryan and Herbert, but I would still do Herbert over Breeze.
Yeah, Herbert.
Yeah, Breeze. But it's your 2-1 on Herbert. Eric Musial showing up. He says Ertz or Jonnu standard.
So for this one.
Standard.
Yeah, standard.
He goes in the next two questions. He goes, sorry, non-PPR.
So I'm gonna go Ertz over Jonnu, even though Ertz has been playing like dog shit.
Because I know he's playing. You can say that.
Yeah, that's I was thinking on how I wanted to word that. But yes, right. Because I know he's playing.
Yeah,
like there is a world where we're waiting until Tuesday. One player pops on Monday. Now that game's in jeopardy, and I actually could have played Ertz. So it's not like I'm playing some obscure tight end. I'm just playing somebody who's looked like dog shit the first few weeks.
Yeah,
that's an easy one. Really, the NFL will fill that team with replacements if they have to. Like, I mean, I'm
too much money to lose.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like I said, the chaos that having two bye weeks will create for the Tennessee Titans will be massive. Latavius Gibson or Harrison, the flex standard?
I'm going to go Harris. It's real close with Latavius, but I think I'm going to go Harris.
I'm going Gibson here. I really like what I'm seeing out of Gibson. I think he gets in the end zone again.
And now we can pile up on George because I'm going Gibson as well.
There you go.
Red Sox fans. Even though George is a Red Sox fan. And that catches up on the Mixler, George. So let's go ahead and get back to the AMAs in here.
Absolutely. Let me see. Nope, we're not even addressing that one, Mike. I was gonna fuck with Jason a little bit.
that is food blasphemy.
Yes. Have you ever tried grilled cheese with mayonnaise instead of butter? No.
No.
Jason, there's a reason why you're 5'10", 726 pounds. It's because instead of butter, you're using mayonnaise on your grilled cheese. Okay. Stop it. You have diabetes. Stop it.
Mayonnaise is less healthy than butter? I mean,
yes.
If
you're doing a keto diet, like butter is like a staple of the keto diet.
But isn't like mayonnaise just white butter at the end of the day?
I mean, no, it's like oil and
shape.
Right.
Listen, mayonnaise is gross to begin with, right? Like, come on, get with 2020 Miracle Whip, right? But just get with the times.
No Miracle Whip. No, that's wrong. Oh, no.
See, that's 2-1. That's 2-1. Yes.
this is what I think of Jason's food question. It is blasphemy, absolute blasphemy. Jason, stop it. I really do wish Jason was with us tonight. We're having a great time. We'd had a good time with Jason here. Justin says no, but I had a grilled peanut butter and Jay for lunch today. First time it changed my life.
Huh. Oh, first time.
Yeah, it took a grilled cheese, but made it with peanut butter and jelly. I don't know how I feel about that.
Dude, I might have to try that. Oh, good. I've been eating that since I was like 18 years old. That was something I used to do when I was in college, man. Like,
Mike, stop it. You didn't go to college. Who the hell are you trying to fool?
I did. 7 weeks, dude. Like, or maybe it was like 10 weeks, something like that.
Mike, you went one time and you got trespassed. Stop it. You're lying.
you're not supposed to be here, dude. No, this was the 90s. You could get away with shit. It was great.
Mike went to the college and they're like, dude, COVID, you need to go home. And he's like, I don't want to. I'm gonna get him to choke on his beer. This is fantastic. G-Man Jay, he writes all these amazing articles for Sleeper, but he wants our semi-professional opinions. And yes, I'm pumping all of us up here. PPR, Golden Tate, Ruggs, or Philip Lindsay? I think I'm gonna go Philip Lindsay here. I want to go Golden Tate just because he got in a fight with Jalen Ramsey, but I think I'm going to go Philip Lindsay.
I'm okay with that. I feel like I'm leaning Tate here. Tate's the guy who's sticking out to me. Yeah, I feel like I have to throw a lot in that game.
Yeah, I'm going to take Lindsay here against the pass defense that has really both its biggest run stoppers opted out for COVID. You can run on them. They got to get him back in. They say he's fully healthy. I'm going to take Lindsay on this one.
Yeah, we got more food tips from Jason. For those of you watching at home, if you don't know Jason, he's actually a pretty good cook. Him and I do a chili cook-off every year. last year, we actually won the whole damn thing. Him and I took home $1,000 in a chili cook-off contest. What we did is we took a meatloaf. So we took a meatloaf, but we ground it up, ribeye, New York strip, and some sirloins, and we made like meatloaf with them. We added some Italian sausage and whatnot, and then we took it and put it in a smoker, and then we smoked the meat for like 4.5-5 hours. Then we chopped it up and put it in a chili. Absolutely fucking amazing! It was the best damn chili I've ever had, which is why we won first place. But he says grilled PB&J is good. Grilled cheese on French toast is amazing. I can believe that. Sweet baby Jesus, grilled cheese. PB&J. So we've turned this straight into a food cooking show. This is absolutely amazing. I love it. Grilled cheese on French toast sounds like a sandwich blessed by the true. And then he put gods. Troy, we 100% agree. It does sound really good. Let me scroll down here. I'm going to come on soon enough. I hope so, Troy. You got an open invitation. Whenever, you know, you can get your schedule to mess with ours. Absolutely open invitation. Love to have you on.
Must have been me. I don't know if it's because I have a beautiful beard and he's got a silly looking mustache now that he wants to connect to me. I don't know.
I'm not going to say it was me. So it's either going to be you or I'm just going to say it was Mike. How's that? He didn't want to come on because of Mike. It wasn't because of me. Let me see. And if you haven't done it and have a roadhouse in your area, French toast out of those yeast rolls. Oh my God. Jeez. So like I said, there's a reason why Jason's 5'10", 723 pounds. look at the recipes he's giving you. Well, here you go. Right here. I'm fat for a reason.
That's fair.
So I'm not saying anything to him. He doesn't say about himself. But no, he's actually talked about these. I went to Roadhouse a couple weeks ago. I did not remember to bring the rolls home to make French toast out of them. So the next time I go, I'm actually going to try this. I have not tried any of these recipes he's put in here so far.
So the two things that I've done is when I was out in San Francisco, I used to get French toast made out of banana bread or a cinnamon bread, nice and thick. That's always delicious.
And I've never done that. Amazing.
Oh, it's incredible. And I've never done the peanut butter and jelly grilled, but peanut butter on a cheeseburger is phenomenal. Make sure you put it on when it's hot, let it melt down a little bit. It is unbelievable.
So I went to Tennessee this past year. We went up there for a family vacation. One of the restaurants we went to, on the menu was a peanut butter cheeseburger, and it came with like this real thick apple bacon. Like, I mean, it was a whole gourmet thing. Like, it was a pretty pricey burger, but it was absolutely phenomenal. It was the first time I'd ever tried it. I was skeptical, but I was like, you know what the hell? I'll try anything once. Mm-hmm. Could not agree with you more. Peanut butter on your cheeseburger, amazing. If you have the opportunity to add bacon, always add bacon. There's no reason you shouldn't add bacon. Always every add time. The bacon.
Don't even care what you're eating. Just put bacon on it. You'll be fine.
Correct. We got a question here from Bob. Higbee or Gage, tight end premium? For me, because it's tight end premium, I'm going Higbee.
Yeah, I'm going to go Higbee with this one as well. I think that realistically, the tight end premium, they're going to be close in PPR. So I'm going to take those extra premium points. I think that they're neck and neck regardless. So give me the premium.
I could not agree more. Absolutely. B Silva says he's 0-3. Well, if you've been listening to us, you shouldn't be 0-3, but let's find out what you got going on over here.
Hold on a second. If he's been playing fantasy football, how is he 0-3? We're in week 5.
I've been told there's no math on this show.
Okay.
Here's a question for you, Mike Dirty. I'll throw this one right to you. Mr. Smith says he's 0-3. Now we're going into week 5, so we're trying to figure out how he's 0-3. He should at least be maybe 0-4, but he's 0-3 apparently. I don't know. So I was told there's no math. I think that's what he's doing. He's trying to make us do math. I disagree with this. I'd probably kick him if he was here.
Do I look at his current quarters and just see like, oh, well, this is who you need to start this week, bud. Like, because you're just getting ready to play week 4. I can just tell you right now who does good on that one.
So here's his roster.
Don't play Julio. Never play Gesicki unless he's playing Julio, the Bills.
Play Diggs because he got like 18 points, dude. Like, so.
Good start.
He's got don't play Cam this week either for week 4. You're not going to be happy with what you get from him. Great.
No.
So he's got Bridgewater. You should start Bridgewater. He'll do good for you. Yep. He's got Bridgewater, Metcalf. I'm assuming it's Robbie Anderson, Delvin Cook, Jonathan Alexander, Diggs, Julio Jones, Melvin Gordon, Gesicki, Schultz, Edmonds, Zach Moss, Cam, and Herbert. His next question is, who do I sell? I'll leave the team here for just a second after I put on Bob's comment, which is a great answer, by the way.
Everybody.
Great answer, Bob. Sell them all. If it's me, I'm trying to see what I can get for Julio Jones. He's the biggest name. He's the biggest disappointment. I'm trying to see what I can get for Julio.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go right down the list. There's a ton of them here, right? I mean, Robbie Anderson gone, Julio Jones gone, Melvin Gordon gone, Mike Gesicki is gone, Dalton Schultz is gone. Any team that's just looking at this year, getting out of this year and rebuilding. All of those guys are going to drop considerably. And if anyone calls me on Gesicki, you have clearly never followed me. I literally could not be out on a player harder than I am on him. Go ahead and come at me with your stats. I promised he would double his stats from the week before, which he did. Congratulations. He had 2 catches instead of 1. But unless he's playing Buffalo, which last I checked doesn't happen until week 17 when you don't play fantasy, he's useless. So, but Schultz is an easy one. Jarwin comes back, takes that job back. Julio is not getting any younger. Melvin Gordon is going to start losing touches to Philip Lindsay and Robbie Anderson, as we have already covered, will get his wide receiver 1 title stripped by DJ Moore anytime now.
So if this is redraft, how do you approach it in that situation?
No.
Ooh, just try fantasy hockey. Do we have anything else going on? I don't know if any other sports are happening, but
move to daily. Go to daily sports is what you need.
We are sponsored by Thrive, buddy, and Thrive has fantasy that.
go sign up for Thrive. Put in the password or the promo code Sleeper, and for $20 they will match it. So you put in 20, you get 40. That's our suggestion. Like you're in a hard spot. You got good players. Don't get me wrong. Like, I like Metcalf. I do like Robbie Anderson. You got Dalvin Cook. You know, you got Diggs, Julio, Melvin Gordon. You came into the season thinking, you know, I'm going to be pretty good. You've had a lot of bad breaks between injuries and just sheer disappointment. Listen, I've seen worse teams come back to win it all. My home league, I had a guy who started 0-5, and he actually came back to win the championship. It was the most disgusting, amazing thing I have ever seen in all of fantasy football. He would not sell his players at all, and then they just started to click. And he went on a run, made the very last spot in the playoffs, and sure as shit, he just ran the playoffs. It absolutely happens. It's possible. Being 0-3, you know, I'm gonna guess you're probably gonna be 0-4 soon. But play your waiver wire, you know, play the wire. I would definitely try to get rid of Julio Jones. If you could get rid of Jones and get something decent, if you can get somebody to buy the name, to believe he'll be a 1,400-yard receiver this year, you know, you could probably get something comparable for him, and that will help your lineup a lot.
I think having Chase Edmonds and Zach Moss as your running backs is going to be a good thing here in a couple of weeks. I think
he's got Dalvin as well. But
that's it, right? Like, Dalvin Cook's your RB1, and then after that, you're pretty much reaching for that RB2. But I think that RB2 will develop. Like, so this week, if it was if this was a week 5 roster, I would probably play Bridgewater, Metcalf, Robbie Anderson, Dalvin Cook. I'd probably go with Edmonds this week, and I feel like Diggs in my flex, something like that, something like there. I think I'd be good. And I think Gesicki, I think he's viable. I think he can at least do something there. But if I'm selling anybody there, I'm selling Julio Jones. We're talking about an industry that gets 3 for 33, and if they get a touchdown, they're gods that week, right? Like, so, you know, the tight end position, if you don't have Travis Kelce or Kittle, you're fucked, you know? Like, so, if, I mean, other than that, you got 3 for 33. Like, that's, you can count on that.
All right. So we've been running over an hour, and we got a shit ton of questions here. Let's burn through a couple of these. We'll try to give a little bit of analysis, but we won't go three deep as we've been going. Some of these I'll just run through. I'll give you the name, the player names, and just tell me who you prefer. Dirty Jobs, I'll throw this one to you to start. Debo or Golden Tate?
Debo. He's more involved.
Mike?
Debo.
I completely agree. 3 for 3. Justin says, whoops.
Sorry.
Stop,
dude.
It, Mike. I got this. French toast out of Roadhouse Rolls. Oh, dear God in heaven. I completely agree. That does actually sound really good. How much faith do you guys have in D'Ernest Johnson, especially this week versus Indy? Dirty, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being absolute smash start, 1 being cut him. What's your faith level?
6. Indianapolis has a real deal defense is the only reason why. I feel like I'd be on a 6 on Chubb, too.
Okay. Mike, how about you?
About a 4. Yeah, just against Indy, not a great player. Not touching him this week if I can avoid it.
I agree. Mike wants the Chubb roll. I think Mike always wants the Chubb roll. Mike F. is Bostonian, too. Well, the SFB11 meetup will be sweet. I'm in North Reading, 20 minutes from Boston. I'm from Lowell, Mass. My parents were born there. I was born there. We all reside down in Florida now because we decided, no offense, but Massachusetts is really a shithole, and we'd rather come to a state where it doesn't snow fucking all winter long. We got beaches. Florida's just much better.
Oh, Jesus.
Too much Boston here.
Do you have that hang-up button we can use on that one?
too much Boston in here. Yankees fan need to leave. Listen, we just lost one person. Like, I don't care. Bye, Jay. as long as the takes are good, great job so far. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Grilled cheese with mayo is the only way to do it. Barry, you, sir, are a monster. I am ashamed to call you my friend. You're probably embarrassed to call me your friend, so you don't, but that's okay. I'm used to this. Jay says we got all the good takes. Could not agree more. Leagues with no backup players. Do you bench the Titans and the Bills at this point?
I'm waiting until tomorrow. I think tomorrow is my D-Day thing. You know, I feel like if we don't see anything tomorrow happening, I think we're in the clear. I think if we don't, then we treat it as a bye week. I mean, if they have a COVID test, we treat it as a bye week immediately.
Mike, what say you?
I am benching them if I have something, a small tick down. We covered Jonnu and Ertz. Yep. I think Jonnu is a better player than Ertz if we know they're playing. But, you know, that level of drop-off, I'm very comfortable making the move. But don't go from, like, a Josh Allen to a Teddy Bridgewater unless you have a damn good reason to.
let me tell you, there's no good reason to do that. Well, I'm in agreement as well. Wait till Sunday. Like, you know, you still got time. Rosters don't really need to be set till Sunday. So watch what's going on. Pay attention. Sleeper Wire has the Sunday Morning Blitz, where we'll be going over all this as well. You can find us on all the same platforms that we are currently streaming on right now. We'll give you the most up-to-date information starting at 10 o'clock on Sunday. Jason says most of the weight is in his pants. Yes, we discussed this. You're a fat ass. Mayo is disgusting. isn't butter white? No, butter's like a yellowish color.
Yeah. Kind of butter you have that's white, dude.
I don't know. Jason's a racist. That's all I'm going to say.
Right.
He thinks butter's white. Why is it going to be white, you racist? Right. Barry says, got your back all day with the mayo. I don't know about that. Just because Mike can't go near elementary schools doesn't mean he can't. College. Again, I don't know which Mike he's talking about.
This time he's talking about me.
I shouldn't be as much. Mother of God. Yes, yes, yes. This is brutal. I lost Godwin, Barkley, and Chubb on that team.
Oh.
You know, I would feel bad, but you're a Yankee fan, so I can't feel bad for Yankee fans.
It's karma. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
The chili sounds good. It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. I'm going to need that chili recipe. So funny thing real quick about the chili, the cook-off that Jason and I did. We're amateurs at this. Like, we've done it only 3 years. Both of us have full-time jobs where we work literally 60 hours a week. We actually had people come up to us and wanting to buy chili from us. Like, where do you guys sell this? And we're like, we don't. We made it. And I'm pointing to Jason. I'm like, we made it in his kitchen this morning. So the chili was good. I don't know if I can give you the recipe, though. It's an award-winning recipe. You're going to have to pay up. French toast made of Uncrustables. I've heard about those. I don't know if I can trust those. I'm not a big Uncrustable person.
I am.
Troy is busy hosting the Family Feud. Hey, listen. There's a joke there I want to make, but oh man, you know it is.
It's too slam dunky.
It is. Absolutely is. You need peanut butter and jelly on a burger. We definitely discussed that. He's the Eagles of. Oh, that's insulting. I don't know what he's talking about, but I wouldn't really want to be called the Eagles of anything.
Nah.
Beast of his team had COVID. They rearranged his bye week, and that's why he's 4-3. I love these comments. Keep them coming. This is awesome. I've done the 0-5 title and redraft before. It definitely happens. Yeah, this was a redraft league. It was mine and Jason's home league last year. It's our home league. It's our big money league. It's $100 buy-in. Ad drops are $1 per person you add, $1 per person you drop. If you're doing any type of trades, you got to pay $3. There's side pools where all that money goes in, and it typically gets pretty pricey. Who's droppable?
Made the switch.
Oswaldo, thank you for making the switch. We much prefer you on the YouTube than on the Mixler. Who's droppable? Chenault, Edmonds, Moss to pick up Swift and Chiefs defense because everything else is trash. PPR league.
I mean, any one of those guys, I'm dropping for Swift. Like, I mean, I like Swift more than I like any one of them. I feel like running backs are a commodity. I'm dropping Chenault.
So I think he's going to drop two because he wants to pick up Swift, which I absolutely agree you should pick him up, and the Chiefs defense.
I think I'm doing Chenault and Moss. I think Edmonds takes over that backfield in Arizona sooner rather than later.
Mike, how about you?
I'm going to go Chenault and Edmonds. I think that Moss is going to have the goal line role. I think that
it's tough.
I hear you on Edmonds. I don't think it matters. I think it's very much like a Josh Allen type situation, like a Patriots type situation where Kyler Murray is now the running back one on the Cardinals. So I just don't see the volume being there for anybody in that backfield when he's doing what he's doing under center. So I don't honestly, I can see all three of them being droppable. I'm just going to take what's potential touchdown upside with Moss.
I agree. I think it's Moss and Edmonds for me. I wish you had somebody else to drop. Barry says specifically the Josh Allen conundrum for me, single quarterback redraft, and I don't carry a second quarterback. So I'm dropping someone like Harry for a second quarterback.
Look, man, look, here's what you do. When Josh Allen is on his bye week, you play him out of goddamn respect. Okay. So if this is this week for Josh Allen and it ends up being his bye week, you put him in there and he'll still give you 12 points, bud.
So I want to give Dirty Jobs Mike here all the props in the world for Josh Allen. So listen, his rookie year when he was drafted, Mike was saying he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. Didn't believe him. I thought Mike had lost his damn mind. I thought he may have taken a little bit of that medicinal medicine that he had before the show. And come to find out, Josh Allen's a hell of an NFL quarterback. Nobody was on him before Mike. Mike, as he said earlier, he's from Wyoming. Josh Allen played in Wyoming. These obscure Wyoming players, Mike knows all about them, and he absolutely hit a home run with Josh Allen. He's got him in so many dynasty leagues because nobody wanted him. It's fucking disgusting.
Late, and I'm loving it now. The play that really got me, dude, is one time Josh Allen was on the 14-yard line. They were playing Fresno State, and on their own 14-yard line, he throws the ball, and, like, you could tell right away, right when he let go of that football, he knew he screwed up, you know, and that was going to be a pick. And so he takes off running towards the sideline as fast as he can. Of course, this guy comes in, grabs the ball. He's getting ready to run that ball in the end zone. Out of nowhere comes Josh Allen, smashes him on the one-yard line. That dude fumbles it into the end zone for a touchback, netting Wyoming a six-yard gain. I'm like, dude, this guy is going to be something. No, like, when I saw that, I'm like, dude, he is amazing. Like, that was just something else. It wasn't just Wyoming. It was just that football IQ. To know that when you screwed up, like right when you release it, you could just tell, like I said, he released it, and then he just started beelining for that pylon. He's like, I'm not going to let this happen. He knew he screwed up before he screwed up. That was when I was like, this guy's got some serious football intelligence, and that really paid off now. He's really showing it finally.
Mike, I love the story. I'm also slightly disappointed that it ended with him tackling the guy, causing a fumble through the end zone, and netting a six-yard gain. I honestly thought you were going to tell the story about where Josh Allen threw the ball. He realized it was a bad throw. It was an interception. He took off. He played defense, and he swatted the ball out of there. That's what I was waiting for you to come with.
He ran out there, caught his own pass, and ran it for an 80-yard touchdown. It was brilliant.
Yes. Well, only in Wyoming does shit like that happen.
Amen. Amen.
We got DJ Police here. That's our boy Al. Al, how you doing this evening?
Hello, Al.
We're all doing fine. We're having a hell of a show. Who's the best between y'all at football? I don't know, because so like me and Mike are in I think we're in one league together. Me and this Mike over here, me and Dirty Jobs, we're in one league together. I dominate that league. I'm not joking. Like my team is absolutely loaded in that league. Come on, Mike. Dude, I'm having a hard time. So in a league where it's a super flex, you got to start two tight ends. You've got to start three wide receivers and two flexes. And I'm having a hard time getting guys like Raheem Mostert and Devontae Parker and TJ Hockenson on my starting lineup because I got all their guys who are doing much better than them. I'm way better than everybody else.
I am. I disagree. I'm not going to dirty out any names out there, but I think he might be the best guy out there. I don't know. Which one are you? What's your record in the Scott Fish Bowl?
I'm 4-0. I'm undefeated in the Scott Fish Bowl.
So am I.
I'm out. You assholes are using my story against me.
I had to.
I love how Mike set that up. He's like, so what's your record in the Scott Fishbowl? Knowing Mike's undefeated, right? He's like, so what's your record in the Scott Fishbowl? I'm undefeated, but I'm not telling you. What's your record? I'm like, I'm undefeated. He's like, fuck, so am I.
Yeah, damn it. I thought I had you.
I will say this. In the Scott Fishbowl, honestly, it's not fair to compare records because each league is so vastly different. Each league drafted completely different. So it's really not fair. I will say this. I am the absolute worst 4-0 team in the Scott Fishbowl. Like, there is nobody worse than me. The only reason I'm 4-0 is because I've been carried by my quarterbacks. My quarterbacks are Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott. Those are the only two quarterbacks I have on my team. I've got their backups. I've got Dalton and I've got Jalen Hurts, but I have no other starting. I got no other starting quarterbacks on that team. Those are the guys literally carrying me week in, week out. I just lost Alan Lazard. My running backs are Mark Ingram and Kenyon Drake, who apparently is going to be losing his job to Chase Edmonds, who I don't have. So it is. And then other than that, like, my next best running back is Shady McCoy. Like, I'm undefeated. I'm the worst 4-0 football team in the Scott Fishbowl. I don't deserve to have that record, but it is what it is at this moment.
I'm the 36th highest scorer in the Scott Fishbowl right now.
I am also the 36th highest scorer. Jason, miss being honest with this week. Thanks for doing a great show. No, Jason, thank you.
Yep, hope everything goes well, bud.
Barry loves medicinal medicine. That's only because he's a pharmacist and he has to distribute the medicine because he loves his job. I'm not saying he's licensed to distribute the medicine. He does. I'm just saying he distributes the medicine.
He's my guy. That's my kind of guy.
DJ Please says, I thought he was going to catch his own pass from the start of the story. Hey, listen, I thought he was going to defend his own pass. So we're almost there, Al. We're almost there.
Oh, that was awesome, dude. I'm telling you.
Barry, he's out, so he's no longer watching. He said it was Mayo time. I don't know if that's code for something else. I really – like, somebody says it's Mayo time. Like, my mind, I'm a Marine. I'm going to dirty thoughts. Like,
it's Mayo time.
DJ Please also loves medicinal medicine. Yes, it is medicinal purposes only for those with glaucoma. So I think we caught up everything we had there.
And the Mixler, we got a few more. We got if he
let's
can get
burn through them. Yeah, let's burn through them real quick, and then we'll get out of here because we've gone really long.
Bridgewater over Ryan. Oh, otherwise Tannehill. So he says Fitzpatrick or Jones over Ryan.
I might
play Jones.
I'm abstaining because I'm a Dolphins fan, and immediately I want to play Ryan Fitzpatrick just because I like his play style. So I'm going to abstain from this question and let you guys duke it out.
Yeah, so give me Jones this week. And by the way, rest of season, he had the worst opening schedule for a quarterback and has just about the best for the rest of the year. Things are only going to get better. And this week, I would put up 25 on the Cowboys, so I expect Jones to put up 30.
Yeah, absolutely. Duke Johnson or Lindsay half PPR?
Lindsay.
Yep,
Lindsay.
And he says he would only be dropping Preston Williams. I wouldn't do that for a second quarterback. And he said herb mayo provolone on a New York City bagel. Toast them. Delicious. And that really does sound good.
Y'all making me hungry.
Me too, man. I'm starving now. I'm like, yum, that sounds good. And Al, I'm pretty basic, man. Like, there's so, whoops. That's what I'm drinking tonight, buddy.
I'm not drinking beer. I'm drinking a sparkling ice water. This one happens to be black cherry. Say what you want. They're fucking delicious. That, and I've
got
to be
so
up
I got myself. Where's the camera here?
Oh, that looks like a good beer.
So right I got there. A Vermont Brew Lost Nation. Nice, pretty can. Morrisville, Vermont. Only can get it up this way. But great beer, great brewery. If you're ever in town, nice outdoor setup, outstanding food. And you can get hammered and hop back on a bike trail ride home. Completely legal, I think. I'm pretty certain you can't get a DUI on a bike, but if you can, you don't can. Tell them I'm over there.
In Florida, you can. I can only speak for Florida. I know in Florida, you can get a DUI on a bike. You can get a DUI on a fucking lawnmower in Florida.
Well, yeah. I tried my hardest to get one up in Vermont, and they don't allow you to, I don't think, because I was riding a fucking 45 on the way home.
I was actually thinking Duke Johnson for that reason, but I still feel like Philip Lindsay is the guy for me there on a PPR league, bud. And then he says he's drinking the same thing. So, dude, me and Al just need to have a show together one of these days. Just and drink some lights, enjoy some medicinal medicine, and talk about the times. What do you think, Al? One of these times.
So we're gonna go ahead and end the show. We went a little over an hour, Mike. I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you staying the in overtime here. We had a tie ball game. We had to go to a little bit of overtime. Do me a favor, go ahead, tell everybody again where they can find you, plug all your social media and whatnot.
Absolutely. So Daddy's Home FF on Twitter. I literally will love shooting the shit with anybody. So hit me up, DMs, tag me, anything you want. That's my favorite thing to do is just shoot the shit on Twitter. You find my articles at thepregamehq.com and every Wednesday at FF_intervention. I am the co-host of Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Fantasy Intervention live stream.
Awesome. And go ahead, follow Mike at, like you said, at Daddy's Home. Give him a follow. He literally does love shooting the shit. The other night, him and I were going back and forth, just come up with all types of crazy shit for Brian Hoyer because it was a shitty game and we were bored. It was a fucking great time. Awesome. One of the best nights I had on Twitter in a while. I was just having fun that night on Twitter. You can follow me. I'm at BFTG Pod. Over here to my left, if you're watching the screen, he's also on your left as well. Sturdy Jobs Mike. You can find him on Twitter. You can also catch us on coming up on the Sunday Blitz, 10 o'clock Sunday morning. Actually, it's 10:30. It'll be me, Mike, Steve, Jason, going through, helping you set your lineups for the day, giving you any type of advice, talking about breaking news, and basically talking about football all morning long. Take you right up to kickoff. Other than that, let's get out of here. Appreciate you guys tuning in, and we'll see you again next week.
Yep. Good luck this weekend, guys. If we don't talk to you on the Blitz, we'll see you then.
Later.